glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, August 25th, 2025. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. Last week, we wrapped up our encouraging study in the book of Hebrews, and today we begin a new journey together. For the next 4 or 5 weeks, we'll be looking at the Songs of Ascent, those psalms that God's people would sing as they made their way up to Jerusalem. We're starting with Psalm 121, where we are reminded that our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Today, Pastor Adam Blackman from CU Church will be sharing insights and encouragement from this powerful message. And just a note, next week, Pastor Jason Epperson will be back to lead us in Psalm 122. Stay with us as we open God's Word together. Here's Pastor Adam Blackman from CU Church.
Today, Psalms 121. Psalm 121, I'd love to read the whole passage as we get started. And it starts like this: I lift my eyes to the mountains, and where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm, he who watches over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forever. The opening question of the psalm is, where does my help come from? So I want to turn that into a question to you. Have you ever found yourself in a position where you realize you need help? A few stories came to mind. I'm a dad, and when my daughter was about 3 years old, she did not know how to swim, and we would put these floaties on her whenever we would go to the pool. So she thought, anytime you're in the water, you just magically float on the top. And so we were on vacation. We were at the beach, and we were coming back from a beach walk. She had her dress on. She didn't have a swimsuit on. But I'm kind of a spontaneous person, and as we were walking back in, there's a pool right there, and she thought, let's get in the pool, and I thought, who cares? Let's do it. And there were 5 steps that go down, and so I'm watching her, and she didn't have her floaties on because we were on a walk, and so she puts her feet on the first step, and it's just on her ankles, and she's splashing around. She's enjoying it. She puts her feet on the second step. It's getting down to her knees. She's enjoying it. And as she keeps going down these steps, I'm seeing her confidence build because she assumes that she's just going to float on the water. And I wanted to kind of teach her a lesson about gravity and oxygen. So as she kept walking down these stairs, there was this moment where she got all the way to the bottom of the pool and she's underwater. And you would think that the survival instinct would begin to kick in. It did not. She would have just died right there, looking at me like this. Her eyes were wide open, and she just reached her arms up like this. And so I let her sit there for a couple minutes and just, no, I'm just kidding. I let her sit there for a few seconds, and then I grabbed her and I plucked her out of the water. Have you ever needed help? I was about 9 years old. My dad was a soccer coach, and so I was always wanting to be around the high school kids, the older kids. Any open gym that I could go to, I would love to go to. And in the off season, they would go to the weight room, and I thought that was really cool, and I would tag along. And if you are into lifting weights, the thing that everybody cares about is bench press. And so we were in there, and there were 2 45-pound plates on this bench press, and I am a 9-year-old specimen ready to lift that weight. I love how everybody laughs so hard. It's like, that's a little hurtful. That's okay. So 9 years old, I walk in there, and there were 2 high school kids that I promise they had to be 35 because they were like 200 pounds, 4% body fat, chiseled out of stone. I'll never forget them, Tunjin Ahmed. And so I got on this, and all the high school kids were kind of egging me on. And so I bet one of them, I bet you $10 I can bench press this weight. And that would have literally killed me, by the way. And my dad, like me, wanted to teach me hard lessons. So he's like, yeah, go for it. You'll experience that lack of oxygen feels like. So I get on this bench press, but he tells Tunjin Ahmed, hey, get on each side of the bar. And these kids that I made the bet with are there. And this bar comes off. And as it's coming down, I feel my whole soul getting ready to leave its body as I'm going to turn into a literal cloud of dust. And then magically, in my 9-year-old strength, as Tunji and Ahmed had two fingers on the bar, this thing just began to float straight up. Have you ever found yourself needing help? Now, those are fun examples, but we all have examples of our life where we found the crisis, where our health declines, where we have a loved one who's sick, where we have a relationship that's breaking, where we have a financial crisis we don't see how we're going to get out of, when we have a job that we lose, and that real fear begins to creep inside of our heart, doesn't it? Where does our help come from? I just want us to think about this statement. I believe it to be true, that where we look for help first is the indicator of what you trust most. Where you look for help first is an indicator of what you trust most. And so why did this nation of Israel sing this psalm? And the opening question, where does my help come from? As you're on this journey, right? This was a physical journey, but it's also true of our spiritual walk with the Lord, right? As we're on this journey, where does my help come from? And they would lift their eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If we could all walk away this morning and believe that to be true, that would be enough. That if we really believe that God is who he says he is, that he spoke all of the universe into creation, every star in the sky, every rotation of the planet, every intricacy of creation, how it all works together, all of the different ecosystems came from the design and the power of God himself. And he looks at us and he says, I am here for you. I love you. If we could just believe that, that would be enough. I was thinking about this story, and we were at CIY Move. It's a conference our high school kids get to go on, and there was a leader that's with us who's a farmer whose name is Gary Olson, and I love Gary. And Gary, I just asked him before a devotional time one time, I said, Gary, would you be willing to share with the high school kids? And he thought I was talking about like the 12 kids that were in our small group. And we had a couple hundred kids on this trip, and so I'm like, all right, Gary, are you ready? And he looks at me like, have you lost your mind? There's a couple hundred. I don't want to do this. But in obedience, he steps up, and I'll never forget the words that he shared. And he was talking about how he thought it was so cool that when he was living his life, when the assembly hall was being built, that's now the State Farm Center, he knew the guy that was in charge or had a major part of designing and building this. And so anytime he had somebody with him, when he was driving by this building, he'd go, you know what? I know the guy who built that. It's just really cool, right? Like you have this insider information and you know somebody of significance. And then there was a moment where he was sitting in his tractor and it was a late at night, probably during harvest season. And he's in the middle of the field and the sky is black and the stars are shining. And he had this moment and that he shared with us where he looked up and these words came to his heart. I know the guy who built that. If we could believe that we have a helper who doesn't just like us, that doesn't just love us, but we have a helper who has the power to create the heavens and the earth. What would change? The passage continues, and kind of the way that I think it would transition is, hey, where's our help come from? Our help comes from the maker of heaven and earth, and what kind of help does God begin to offer us? The next verse says that he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. And I love this image, right? If you're journeying up this 3,000-foot ascension into Jerusalem in this rocky terrain, even if you know your destination, there's going to be moments that you slip. And if you were to slip, you could fall, you could die, that your life is at risk. But it says that God will not let you fall. The kind of help that God offers us is a kind of help that comes with ultimate grace. That he has called everybody in this room. He's called me. He's called you. He said, I desire a relationship with you. I desire it so much that I sent my son into this world to live a perfect life, to model what it looks like, to walk in obedience, and ultimately to forgive you from your sins because he offered his life as a sacrifice on the cross. So when Jesus gave his life on the cross, it is an invitation for us to receive forgiveness for every mistake and every sin in our life. And then when he was put in the grave, he came out of that grave by the power of God. He was is risen from death to life, and that life is also offered for us, that we have this new opportunity to have life with God. And he calls each and every one of us in this room, and he invites all of us into that. And when we accept what Jesus has done for us, when we receive that, we're all on a journey of walking with Jesus. But even if you believe that, if you spend a day being honest with yourself, every single day I wake up, I try my absolute best to try to look for Jesus and live for Jesus. And every single day I slip. But because of who Jesus is, he offers me grace. What kind of help does Jesus offer? It's not the kind of help that we're used to. Let me ask you this question. Are the other places that we look for help, would they offer you grace in your worst moment? The other people we look to for help, when we let them down, would they uphold the end of the bargain? See, the kind of help that the Lord offers us is not like anything else this world has to offer. The world has conditional love, and we have limits on our ability to love other people, but God is not like us. He loves us unconditionally, and he can offer us grace when we need help. The passage continues on. He says, he won't let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The kind of help that God offers us is one that is present at all times. See, even if we have great people in our life, I have great people in my life that if I called, they would be there for me and they would try to help me and they would try to love me. I have family, I have my wife. We should be blessed by the relationships around us. But here's what's different about who God is. He never takes a moment off. He is always available to us. So even the good places that God's designed in this world for us to find help, they have limitations. You might not always be able to get a hold of them. They might not always be able to be there for you. But God is with you and me always. I was talking to a gentleman who has walked through a lot of hardships in his life, and he is one of the most faithful people that I know. And he just quietly and humbly lives his life in faithfulness. He's walked through loss of people that he loves. He's walked through hardship, and he said these words. He said, you know, sometimes it's great when we're in environments with God's people and we can physically feel and see the help and the hands and feet of Jesus. That's beautiful, but they're not always going to be there with you. But because of Jesus, it's like we have help on demand. See, when Jesus left this earth, he made this promise. He said, you know what? Like when the disciples followed Jesus, when there was a storm, he could calm it. When there was a sickness, he could heal it. When there was something that wasn't true about the way people were living, he could call them into truth. When we needed grace, he could give them grace. But then he said these words to his disciples, hey, I am getting ready to ascend to the Father. I'm going to heaven, and it's better for me to leave than to stay. And the disciples are like, how could that possibly be? Why could it be better for me to leave? Like, Jesus, we've seen what you can do. We see your power. We see what you have to offer. And he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit? This is the Spirit of God that when we receive Christ, promises to dwell within me. So when Jesus took a nap, that we weren't in the presence of Jesus in his humanity, right? But when the Spirit of God dwells within me, there's never a moment where you are alone. The kind of help that God offers us is a kind of help that is always available. He is always with you. You are never alone. The passage continues on in verse 5. He says, the Lord watches over. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon harm you by night. You can imagine this 3,000-foot journey in the heat. There was one time I was walking in a super hot day, and we were swimming, so I didn't have my shirt on, and we walked for like 2 hours, and the sunburn that I had hurt so bad. You know the only thing that can bring relief when the sun and when life is coming is shade. It takes something that is painful, and it provides you relief. And God offers us the kind of help that is like that. God offers us protection. when the sun's going during the day or the moon's going by the night. Basically what it's saying is no matter where you are walking in your life, no matter where you are, that not only is God a God of grace, not only is God a God that is present, but he is a God that can do something to protect who you are. See, for this nation of Israel, that was most of the story of the Old Testament, that God had set up this covenant relationship where he said to them, hey, if you obey me and you trust me, I will bless you and you will prosper. And so there was this physical protection from other nations that were trying to destroy him. There was this physical prosperity that God blessed his people with so that the world could see the kind of God that he is. But here's what he promises us. You might be thinking, boy, I'm trying to follow Jesus, but it don't feel like that I'm protected. It doesn't feel like that I'm just living in abundance all the time. And that's true because here's what happened. We had no ability to continually stay faithful. And so instead of living under the blessing of God, we would have been under the condemnation or the judgment of God. But in God's love for us, he continued to seek us out. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to make a new promise, a new covenant with my people. And here's the promise that I myself will be the one who's obedient. And I myself will take the punishment in Christ. And here's all you have to do. You get to receive it. And when you receive it, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And I will invite you to walk with me. And by the way, in this world, now we will face trouble. Because you follow Jesus does not mean you will be protected from the hard things of this world. But here's the promise that Jesus makes us, that you are sealed for not now, but for eternity. In the end of the passage, he says, the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now, but forevermore. See, right now, we live in between the death, burial, and resurrection that provides us hope, and the promise that Jesus says, I will return, and I'm coming back. So in between that, we might suffer loss. We might go through hard times. We might not always have enough. Paul says it like this, I have learned to be content in all circumstances, whether well-fed or hungry. And what I've learned in my life is to live as Christ. If I'm going to live, I'm going to live for him, and to die is gain, because the worst thing that can happen to us on this world is death has already been conquered, and that when Jesus returns, there will be a moment where there is no more pain. So every pain and suffering that we go through now, God's still protecting us because he holds eternity for you and for me forever. And let me give you a picture of what Jesus says eternity will look like in Revelation 21. He said, and I heard a loud voice from the throne, he says, look, God's dwelling is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. He will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write these things down. These words are trustworthy and true. It is done. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. What does it look like to turn for the Lord and help? We're turning to the one who can protect us now, but he has eternity. There's all kinds of beautiful helps that we have. We have help at our fingertips. We have help in relationships. We have help in our intelligence. We have help in our strength. We have all kinds of things that we can lean on for our help. We can try to find help in our coping mechanisms. We can try to find help in the way we're trying to ignore the problems that we have. We can look for help in all different kinds of places. And I do it all the time. But what God's trying to say is, hey, there's no other thing, there's no other person, there's no other place that you can look for help who created the heavens and the earth. There's no other help that can provide you grace that is unlimited and at the cost of the one who's giving it. There's no other help that is always present and always there, and he lives inside of you. There's no other help that can protect you both now but for eternity. The only place we can find that help is in Jesus. I thought about this passage in 1 Kings chapter 18. There was a moment where there was one prophet, somebody who spoke on behalf of God, and the people of God had been wavering back and forth. And one moment they would trust the Lord, and the next moment they would try to look for these other false gods or these other places of strength. And so there was this showdown on a mountain. One prophet of God versus hundreds of prophets of these other false gods and these other places to try to find strength. And I love this passage because it's a great competition, and there's trash talk. If you ever want to read the whole thing, 1 Kings 18, it's my place where I say trash talk is biblical. On top of this mountain, what happens is there's a moment where Elijah, the one who speaks on behalf of God, he says, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if these other things are God, follow them." And so they set up these two altars of wood, and the competition is whichever God, whichever place of help can answer by fire is the one who is truly God. And so these 500 other false gods are crying out with all their strength. They're trying all their different rituals. They're trying everything that they can to get the response and to get the result that they need, and nothing happens. And this is where Elijah's like, yeah, keep trying, keep yelling. Maybe they're sleeping. Maybe they're not present. He's talking to them. And then what he does is he gets these water jugs and pours them all over the wood. Why does he do that? That's not the way that you would normally start a fire. Just newsflash. But what he wanted everyone on that mountain and what he wants us to understand is this. It's not by his power, but it's by the help of the Lord. And he called on the Lord and fire rained down from heaven and soaked up that water, soaked up that wood. And everybody in that moment knew, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Where do you look for help? Maybe I can ask it like this. Who is it, what is it that you are trusting to try to find help? See, my help, he put stars in the sky. My help laid his life down on a cross and took my sin and offers me forgiveness. My help makes me never alone. He walks with me every single day. My help calls himself a father and calls me a son and calls you a son and a daughter of the kingdom of God.
Amen and amen. You are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God loves you. Thanks for joining us for today's Mark and Friends program as Pastor Adam Blackman walked us through Psalm 121, reminding us that the Lord himself watches over us. What a powerful truth to carry into this week. And don't forget, our journey through the Songs of Ascent has just begun. Pastor Jason Epperson will be with us next Monday to explore Psalm 122. You won't want to miss it. Now, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Until next time, may you keep looking to the one who is your ever-present help, the Lord who watches over you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.